How have you and your partner handled being in very close contact during the last few months? You haven't been able to get out to have those emotional releases from catching up with friends to going to the gym or even simply heading into work. It's been a testing time, and it seems that, interestingly, artificial intelligence is getting involved in your relationship. How? What? When? Tanya Sorden is here from the University of Newcastle to tell you more about it. Good morning.
Morning, Kyle. How are you this morning?
Yeah, good, thanks. AI in my relationships. Not quite sure how I feel about that. What's happening?
Well, it's actually quite interesting because, of course, some people now use apps to assist them when they're actually getting together, and they use it as a pre-marriage form of counselling and also a form of support, which I've always thought was a bit hilarious, thinking about a couple sitting there in bed, each on their own apps, trying to work out what they can do to keep their marriage healthy. But the use of apps in divorce matters is a expanding field in terms of justice apps, and I think that's really interesting about how people might use an app powered by forms of AI to actually help them think about what their divorce could look like.
How do these divorce apps work, Tanya?
Well, there are different types of divorce apps, and you know, there's a range in that some apps are designed to help people just schedule access between children. Some apps, particularly in the US, are designed to give you some legal advice that can help you through the divorce process. And then there are a number in Australia as well, and they all function in a slightly different way. The one that was recently launched and supported by the government is an app which is designed to give you an idea about really what the outcome would be if you progress through to a court hearing. And I've just finished an independent evaluation of another app with the results out soon, which does a whole range of things. It's got quite a sophisticated chatbot that populates documents that can be used and lodged with the court to formalise the agreement. And it's also got an add-on app which analyses all of the financial records that a couple has to try and give you a really good idea about contributions over the last 5 years. It can also give you an idea about the budget that might be required going forward.
Yeah.
So quite sophisticated. And very interesting, I think, for people.
How do you see it being used?
Well, it's really interesting because I actually had a pretend divorce myself last year and used one of these apps to try it out.
Oh.
And you know, I'm pretty tech savvy, and but I'm probably in the older group of people who would use apps. And I actually found it to be a very supportive process in that, you know, initially there's a chatbot that gets all of your background information, and it's quite a non-invasive process. And then from that point, there are a series of milestones that really speed up, I think, the divorce process. And you get referrals if you need referrals. You know, my children are now at an adult stage, so I didn't need referrals for the children.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of the statistics that we gathered, both about relationship length and around parenting, about 35% of people actually got a referral to talk with somebody about how the children were coping. So these apps can actually work with a triage tool as well, so that they can refer you to a human being if you need some additional support, whether that's financial, legal, or mediation or something else.
Yeah, so it just sounds like a great starting point. Instead of having to try to find a lawyer just to ask those, you know, very simple questions at the very start of what is a, you know, a big emotional process, the app is there to do that in the comfort of your own home.
And if a party, for example, has really reached an agreement on, you know, where they would like the assets to go, then pretty much all of the work that sits behind that can be done with the assistance of the app. And we know that that's important because a lot of people are self-represented in the family system and find it really hard to actually put documents together that can then be turned into a court order. So these apps can actually do that for you. So that's a huge development.
So it does then become that legal documentation in case you need it down the track?
That's right. And so some of those orders, and I think at the moment there's probably about 50 or 60 in the one app that I've looked at, have actually resulted in consent orders that have now been lodged with courts and approved with courts.
What are the advantages of this, Tanya, especially for a, you know, a family law system that we know is under a bit of pressure at the moment?
Well, the family law system is under pressure, and also people using the family law system are very much under pressure because of the time and cost constraints. And so I think the apps provide, for some people anyway, a much faster way of moving through the system and achieving a final outcome. And so that's really important because, of course, the pressures on families when people are moving through a divorce system are really difficult, and the pressures on children in particular are really problematic. So speed is a huge saving, but the cost savings are also significant. For example, that add-on AI app that looks at, you know, and considers all of the financial documentation. Typically, if you're moving through lawyers, what happens is that the lawyers send back bank statements between the lawyers, and it can take months and months to actually come up with, you know, a very clear outline about contributions and also something that can guide that work into the future. And with this app, you're talking about 15 minutes instead of months. Some of the apps are free, and some of the apps, of course, if they're referring you to other services, then those services will cost money.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're commercialised apps, so I suppose they've got to make their money in some way. But generally, they're a lot cheaper because you're looking at sometimes unbundled legal advice, which is this notion that you might just get advice about one aspect of a disagreement, for example, with your former partner, instead of needing to get advice about everything.
Yeah.
And some things are taken away from lawyers, which is quite appropriate and, you know, is a way of, I think, reducing overall cost.
What do you see the apps not being able to replace? What are some of the disadvantages of these applications?
Well, a lot of these apps work really well where people can agree. And where they can't agree, then I think you've got the difficulties. And where people are sort of in a high conflict situation, then the apps aren't necessarily going to be useful, although to some extent they can provide people a way of distancing from one another. But in really complex situations and in situations where you've got personality issues with the person on the other side, you know, an app might not be appropriate. And also, you know, we still have a digital divide in Australia. There are still a lot of people who have difficulties in terms of internet connectivity, and they also have difficulties in terms of using technology. But really, for most people, apps have become so simple, and many of these apps are really designed with a customer in mind, with a customer experience focus, that you know, that digital divide is shrinking.
It's really interesting to hear, and it'll be really interesting to see where else this goes and just how much it can free up some of the court system in New South Wales. Tanya, thank you for telling us about it this morning.
Absolute pleasure.
Tanya Sorden there. She's the Dean and Head of Newcastle Law School at the University of Newcastle, talking you there through some of those applications that are on the market at the moment.